On Reddit, true crime doesn't come from journalists. It comes from the victims, the witnesses, and sometimes the suspects themselves.
Every Tuesday on Crimes of Reddit, we read these posts out loud.
I'm Sabrina Dianaroga.
And I'm Alexis Linkletter. One of us brings the story, the other goes in blind, reacting in real time, just like you.
New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Crimes of Reddit, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
I think that's something that's going to continue to evolve, continue to grow as they get more reps with each other. They had a lot of work in the off season, and I think that'll just continue to evolve as they, you know, learn each other. But I guess, I've been pleased with how that progress is going.
Bills offensive coordinator Pete Carmichael Jr. This is Sports Talk Saturday. Joe Calley, Owen Parker, and for Derek Kramer today. We're going to go back to Pete Carmichael Jr. for an extended look at his press conference here. You're going to hear it all. No one was here to catch it live this morning, so we're going to bring it to you now. And we'll be back on the other side. We'll chat with you on what was said, and then we're going to be expecting Matt Schauff also on some fantasy football at the bottom of the hour. So here's Bills offensive coordinator Pete Carmichael Jr.
Excited about this weather.
Sorry.
So, ready.
Pete, you've worked with some great running backs throughout your career. What are your early impressions of Buffalo's running back room, and how do you envision getting them more involved maybe in the passing game as you've done in New Orleans?
Yeah, I think that obviously excited about that room. There's been a lot of production in the run game over the past, but again, new year, new season. When you talk about getting them some throws in the pass game, a lot of that sometimes is just giving them those opportunities. But again, there's a lot of competition in that room. Really excited about where that room's at.
Pete, where do you see the connection growing between Josh Allen and DJ Moore?
Yeah, I think that, it's nice to see them connect a couple explosives early on in these first couple practices. But again, I think that's something that's going to continue to evolve, continue to grow as they get more reps with each other. They had a lot of work in the off season, and I think that'll just continue to evolve as they, learn each other. But I guess, I've been pleased with how that progress is going.
Hey, Pete, as you look through the millstone the last couple of years and now you're here, do you see a need or at least a possibility of increasing the running back screen game at all for this team?
Well, I think as you go into the off season, you look at when I first got here, hey, some things that we might be able to do differently. I think that, a lot of that might be specific to a team that you're playing. How do the screens look? How do the screens to the halfback look? Are they more, are we better off getting them on the perimeter? So I think there's just, that's always a part of the game that you like to be able to be productive in. And I think some of that might be specific to who you're playing.
Hey, there's a lot of talk about Keon this offseason. You've been around this league a while. What are the keys to a young wide receiver in his growth to kind of get to a spot where he really understands everything about playing the position, chemistry? Like, what is the key there for those guys in the first few years?
I would say this. I love his focus. I love his mindset when he's coming to the building. He is working extremely hard. He's playing fast. I think a lot of that just develops over time, but I think that all the intentions are great. He is able to play multiple positions, and so those opportunities are going to come with time.
Have you, over your years, though, have you seen guys, other wide receivers, like, is there something that happens that they figure out a little bit as they go along?
Yeah, I think they just start, with the more experience, they start playing a little bit more confidently, more experience. Maybe they have a better, just talking about other guys in the past that that I've been a part of, there's been times where guys have all of a sudden it's clicked.
The fullback was a big part of this offense last year. You have two guys competing to replace the one that was here. How do you balance evaluating that competition with installing plays and getting a sense of how much you may use that position?
Yeah, I would agree. It's been a big part of the success that this offense has had in the past. I think that evaluating that position will increase as when the pads get on. And so, again, that's what part of training camp's about, and you always want to be able to put your best personnel on the field. And that personnel may change based on the situation. But again, as the pads get on, we get some reps and be able to see, be excited about that.
Coach, you've got
experience with a head coach that's responsible for calling the plays in your time with Sean, but in your role now, how do you feel, what's on your short list in terms of taking the load off of the head coach knowing he's got the play calling responsibilities in your role?
Well, I think that it's, again, what is his message? And he's not going to be able to be at all the call at the offensive right. meetings, and so making sure that whatever message he's giving is the same message that the players are hearing from us as coaches. Obviously, Joe does a great job in front of the team. He's, you know, passionate about it, and they can feel that. But again, it's just he's got other responsibilities. There's times on the field where he wants to go over and watch the defense or be with the defense or the special teams, and it's just being able to make sure that what he wants is what's being communicated.
And then beyond that, are there like gaps you're trying to seek out to say, okay, Joe's not going to have time for this. This is where I step in.
Yeah, I think that over the time that I've been here, start saying, oh, you know what, I can help with this, or let me put this on my plate. But I think that again, he's very involved. But it's just really, if he doesn't have time to do something, making sure that it's getting done.
Pete, since you've been here, studied the film on this offense, now seen them on the field together, what do you believe is the potential of this group?
Well, I think this. It's a new year, new season, so nothing's promised to us. And you can go back over the years and say, oh, this has been a team that's been a top rushing team. It's been a team that's been a top passing team. It's been a team a couple years ago that was really good with protection. But all those things just because they've been good in the past don't just aren't handed to you. So I think again, that's what's happening now and through the work. But there's a lot of guys in this building that have been a part of it, but again, it's just not something that's just like, it's just gonna happen. It has to happen through work, preparation.
Drew's going to the Hall of Fame on Saturday. When you started working with him, did you know right away that he was pretty special?
So I was fortunate to be with him in San Diego as well for 4 of his 5 years, and you always knew that he had what it took. He had that the stuff that you can't coach outside the building, all of that he had it, and just the way he worked, prepared, the way he was able to communicate with players, his relationships, all that stuff was special. And then again, it went onto the field, but he's always had those special traits.
What will it mean to you to be there to see him inducted?
Yeah, it's pretty special. It's a special moment, and there are going to be a lot of guys. Just great to see again that are all there celebrating what he deserves. And he's meant so much not only to his teammates but the city. What him and Sean were able to do in New Orleans and bring everybody, it was special to be a part of.
With Alec and Austin at left guard, what are you looking for to determine who ends up being the winner of that battle?
Yeah, I think that's going to come when as the pads get on a lot right now. They're getting reps, and I think that's something that's going to develop as we go through here. But excited about both guys, and with what they've been able to do so far without the pads on, we're excited about.
Is it different for each guy? I mean, is it the same parameters for both, or does each guy have their own things that they need to work on that you want to see happen for them to be the guy?
Yeah, I think each guy's, each guy's his own guy, and you might not specific to them, but just in general, when you're talking about maybe two guys that are playing in one position, want the same position. One guy might need more work in the run game. One guy might need more work in the pass game. But again, I think a lot of those questions start to get answered when the pads come on.
You've been involved in a lot of training camps. Is there anything that stood out about how Joe's tried to pass along his message to start camp, or maybe how he's kind of set up this training camp too?
Yeah, I think this. I would say he had, when he got named the head coach, he presented a vision, and he knew exactly what kind of team he wanted, what kind of players he wants to surround himself with. And I think he's conveyed that message in team meetings to the people in the building. I think it's been pretty fun to see.
You talked earlier about the connection between Josh and DJ, but how has your connection grown with Josh since you stepped into this? Maybe what's the thing that you've learned most about him since you stepped in?
Yeah, I think that obviously get to be around him every day, and that's pretty special in itself. But I think that you love the competitiveness. He's extremely smart. I think there's so much what you see on the field, but also off the field, where you see him interacting with guys and his ability to communicate. He's special.
What level of intentionality is there to you two spending time together and sort of growing that rapport, understanding how important the relationship is between an offensive?
Yeah, obviously, and I think that on top of that is the relationship that he has with Joe, and Joe as the play caller, and you know, in a sense, you know, this is Joe's offense. It's Josh's offense. It's our offense that we're building. But I think that there's a relationship, not only with us, but in that whole quarterback room, and then with the team. And again, Joe's a big part of that as well.
How do you view the quarterback room outside of Josh, as Kyle and Shane are, you know, getting their reps?
Yeah, excited to walk into that room every day. Feel real confident with the group of guys that we have in there. Obviously, Josh is special, but real confident in Kyle and Shane as well.
You mentioned what Drew Brees meant to the city. Can you maybe put your mind back at that time before the Saints punch through and win that Super Bowl, and everything that's built up around having a great quarterback in a city that hadn't won it yet, and anything that you can maybe see from that time to where you are now?
Well, I think when we got there, you know, it was, I'm going to say it was right after the season of Katrina, and so there was just a lot of destruction. It was obviously a tough time, and I think that the excitement of the team winning, it just kind of brought everybody together. But I think that they purposely brought the city with them, and the passion of the fans, and then all of a sudden to have success early. That first game in the Superdome was week three against Atlanta, and just the noise in the game that day, and just you could just tell that something special was being built.
You're not from there, but as an ambassador, I suppose, to having won a Super Bowl with New Orleans, can you put into words what he means to New Orleans?
Well, I think that he's always going to have a place there. He's special. I think that I don't know if there's a group of there's a lot of guys from that team that did a lot of great things, and them getting out into the community, them letting the people be a part of it was pretty special.
Hey, there's a lot of unknowns going into the season with Joe, and it's natural for people to wonder if Joe, what kind of a coach, head coach Joe can be as a first-time head coach. What gives you the confidence that to see that he's capable of taking this job and taking this team to the next step?
Well, the way he communicates and the way he talks to the team, the messages he portrays, he has a vision, he has a belief, he's sticking to it. And again, there's been a lot of head coaches that have been successful calling an offense, and he has those characteristics.
Okay.
Thank you.
That's Bills offensive coordinator Pete Carmichael Jr. addressing the media from training camp earlier today. Welcome back to Sports Talk Saturday. Joe Calley, Owen Parker, and for Derek Kramer. We're here with you. Couple interesting things he said there, especially in the beginning. He's talking about, you know, asked about the running backs catching passes, James Cook specifically, right? Which is something we saw him do a lot in college, especially downfield. I remember seeing a lot of highlights of downfield from him. So are we going to be seeing a big passing year from James Cook now in the receiving game, right? Is that on top of being the league's leading rusher last year? Like, are we just adding another notch to the belt for him? It sounds like that could be what's happening here.
It definitely sounds like a thing that they are at the very least trying out early on to try to, is this something we're capable of doing? Do we want to mix this in just to add another wrinkle into the offense? The NFL is a give and take and a cyclical thing between offenses and defenses, where it's, okay, what'd you do last year? How can I just tweak it enough to make it different and add a wrinkle that might throw off a defensive coordinator as they're watching tape, whatever it is? And you want to add little things every year. And I think that's one thing. I don't know how many games last year going into the game on a Friday where we would be talking about, you know, maybe this week is a week that James Cook finally catches a couple balls.
It had to have been eight times last year.
Right? It was a constant conversation about him. Like, when are they going to throw him balls ever?
Yeah.
Because he was good at that in college. He had 700 yards receiving in his college career.
Well, people here throw James Cook a pass and they think to the wheel routes he's dropped in his time with the Bills and they start panicking.
Sure.
That's what people remember James Cook catching passes. That's what that is.
Right. And that's fair. I mean, he has not had historically a great career in the NFL of catching balls, but that coming out of college was his thing. He's going to be a change of pace receiving back.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if that skill set is still in there somewhere, for a guy that led the league in rushing last year, if we're able to add that as a wrinkle into his game, into the offense, where instead of, you know, a screen pass as your short yardage option,
right,
and that's your set play, now you're in a space where, all right, let's take a look at a mid-range, couple mid-range routes. We'll have Cook in there. Is he, you know, pass protection? Is he better there? That's something we know he's needed to work on.
Yeah.
And have him leak out into the flat, and there's your check down, and you're in great shape, and that's your short yardage play.
Yeah, you don't have to have Khalil Shakir at the line of scrimmage every play to be a short yardage play.
Right, that's now no longer your safety blanket. You're more comfortable in Cook becoming that for you as a leak out into the flat and like, okay, there you go. DJ Moore didn't get open. Josh Palmer didn't get open. Let's dump this off here.
Yeah.
And
I mean, that's what you want. That would take this offense. I mean, even without DJ Moore, it would take this offense to the next level.
Right.
Like adding that, like you said, another dimension, another wrinkle. And I think Cook's capable of it. Yes, he's had a couple drops, don't get me wrong. They normally throw to him again and he catches it, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if he can just get past the first drop and get used to catching passes because they're going to do it more consistently, I think you're immediately better off there. But we'll get connected with our fans quickly here. Brought to you by Northtown Kia, Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop online at northtownkia.com. We go to Bill in Old Forge. Bill, it's Joe, it's Owen. What you got for us?
Hey, guys, I got quite a few points. I'm going to be as short-winded as I can. I'm going to get as much in as I can in a short period of time, and I want you guys to comment on it.
All right.
I've been going to Bills camp forever. I stopped going when they stopped tackling people about, I don't know, what, say 3-4 years ago, maybe McCoy's last year here. So I stopped going because I think you could tell even less from camp than you could have told years ago from camp when they were actually tackling people.
Mm-hmm.
And the points I want to make is this. Number one, I think Beam should have been gone and McDermott should have stayed just based on winning 12 or 13 games a year, winning one or two playoff games a year. I know we didn't get to the Super Bowl, but I really think you just keep going with him until I think we would have gotten there eventually. I really do believe that with him and Allen. So that's my take on him. And everybody's got their opinion on whether McDermott should be gone. Me personally, I think they got rid of the wrong guy. I actually, moving forward, don't have much faith in Bean making this team any better moving forward in the future. And I think in 2 years, he may be in hot water. Maybe they just move him into a different the position he's in without being the GM or something like that. But regardless, we won't know that for years down the line or after this season. Mm-hmm. But my thing about camp is this, okay? You can dissect things as much as you want, and we've been down this road before. And within the past recent years, remember Brandon Riley, wide receiver? He looked super great. Looked great in preseason. I mean, and I even was like, hey, man, maybe this guy's got some, okay? He didn't make the team. And then as of recently, maybe 5-6 years after that, I think it might have been, Trent Sherfield last year, Darlene Camp. And I'm like, oh, maybe we got something here.
Yeah, is it not Keon Coleman every season too?
Or okay, Keon Coleman, but him coming in, we kind of already knew. I don't know. We were skeptical on him when we drafted him in the second
round.
These Darlings of camp, they talk them up, and I always hope they're going to be great, right? But we're always let down. Some don't even make the team. The running back from Europe, I can't remember his name offhand. Wade, maybe? Christian Wade. They made a big deal out of him. He was from Europe, so I was kind of like, he's probably not making the team. Other people want to make the team based on what he did in camp. Mm-hmm. And he did play great for what he did, but he didn't even make the team. So yeah. I don't get too excited about anything. But my point that I want to make, other than that, basically about the camp, the two things, based on what I said about Bean and McDermott should still be here, and Bean should be the one that's gone, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. From the one thing that I'm hearing from camp that is alarming to me, that kind of raises some eyebrows, it should raise some eyebrows with Bills fans or raise a little bit of a red flag to me, is, and it is based on McDermott, how Jim Leonard, who I loved as a player, and hopefully it works out good. I like Jim Leonard as a player. I like him as a person. He seems pretty cool. But, like, he comes in, and the first thing he says is he's shocked at how these guys are prepared in the meetings and how he's never been on a team that has done, like, what these guys are doing before his eyes. And he was in Denver with Sean Payton, who's a hard-ass, too. And he didn't even see that there. And to hear that is like, maybe McDermott, you know, I don't know, Pegula Bean, maybe he got rid of the wrong guy. I don't know, man. Like, that, to hear that come out of a guy's mouth, that was alarming to me. But we already kind of knew McDermott was like that. But to hear from a coach actually saying that was alarming. And then the opposite of that, the opposite was a player saying that now we're kind of able to be ourselves and more loose in camp. And I was a football fan for 40-something years or more. Like, that never usually sounds good to any fan. I don't want loose rules. I don't want players being – they can be themselves. I get that. But, like, there's a time and place and whatever. I don't want loosey-goosey. I don't want joking. I don't want – and recent history would be Miami's coach.
Yeah.
And you can go down the line of coaches over the years. I want a Parcells. I want a Jimmy Johnson. I want a Belichick. I want a McDermott. I want a Mike Tomlin. A hard ass that draws a line, whether the players like it or not. They're getting paid to play professional sports, so I don't really care if they don't like that. But, like, that usually is the winning culture, like McDermott put here, and you win. So I didn't like to hear, oh, we could be – and maybe it's overblown, and maybe –
Oh, we lost Bill there.
Yeah.
Yep. Bill, thanks for the call. We'll respond to what we had there. Dropped off just at the end. But, I mean, to the point on training camp first, and then we'll get into the rest of it.
Yeah.
I do agree. There's not a lot you can take from it.
Yeah.
I mean, we've prefaced this entire show with that of pads are on Monday. That's where you're really going to be able to start taking things away. And even then, they're not going to full-blown start tackling each other, right? It's not a game time situation. You're not going to try hurting the other player,
right,
or anything like that. I talking about the McDermott stuff, right? Not to keep beating a dead horse with this, because I feel like we talked about it quite a bit since the changes happened. I agree with him. I originally thought they got rid of the wrong guy because he makes a good point. The consistency, and you've talked about this, McDermott being the pillar of consistency for this team, this leader of men. He changed the culture of this team into a winning culture, and Leonard commenting on everyone being prepared, I think that's still a shadow of that, right? Mm-hmm. It's the residual effect of it, and Brady's going to continue that, I think. Yeah. I think there's a line in the sand. You mentioned McDaniel and the Dolphins being a everyone can be ourselves kind of a thing, right? There's a line in the sand, and Brady's already shown he's drawn that line in the sand. He didn't let C.J. Gardner-Johnson stream in the locker room, and he went over there and had the conversation with him.
Right.
I get that's a minuscule thing. That's not a locker room thing necessarily. It is a little bit. But we can't sit here and act like without seeing anything, he's gonna let everyone walk all over him.
Yeah.
From what we've seen already, it shows that not to necessarily be the case.
Right.
I have trust in Brady that he's seen how this thing operates at a good clip for multiple years now. Just carry as much of that in as you can. He might be a little more lackadaisical, a little more loose. Sure, McDermott was a little more strict. It might not be the worst thing. It's a little change in the vibe, I guess. That's my look.
Exactly. I think you. There are parts of Brady being a holdover from the McDermott times that are frustrating, but there are also parts of it that will undoubtedly help him. And one of those is what you just mentioned. Like, he saw how the sausage was made with him for a long time, and it was a good sausage. And so you've got to respect and honor that while also finding your way to your own style. And Bill, I do agree that it can be scary, but I think there's a part of it that it would be scary making any change in any
change.
No,
that's
way.
The whole, isn't that the old adage?
Yeah.
Change is terrifying, but it, you know,
it's
a
necessary.
Lot of times it's necessary. Yeah.
Right. And so,
and that's the thing. They might have gotten rid of you might think they got rid of the wrong guy. Don't get me wrong. I did too. It was not the season to fire McDermott. There were a couple others you could have done it and had no issue. Quarrel with anybody. But also, it's been 9 years and 7 with Allen, and it's, you still haven't done it yet.
Right.
Something's got to give, and that gave.
Eventually.
So as much as I might not have agreed with it at the time, or you still don't, Bill, and thanks for the call again. This isn't trying to dismantle your point or anything like that, but I think it was time for something, and that was the thing that gave.
Right.
Yeah, the general manager probably should have gone too because he's been a part of it for just as long. But anyway.
Not how it went, and
no,
here we are.
We can't change it. So, and I think we're fine. I'm not worrying about Joe Brady's ability as a head coach until I see something that's alarming.
Totally.
And we haven't seen anything like that yet. We're going to take a timeout, though. We got Matt Schauff of Draft Sharks on the other side. We're going to talk some fantasy football, specifically the Bills, because, hey, they might have players you want to draft other than Josh Allen this season and James Cook. Might throw DJ Moore in the mix, all of that. So we'll get Matt's thoughts on the Bills, around the league, all of that and more coming up for you on WGR.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You know, he's put in the work this offseason. He continues to get better, continues to master the offense in the role that we're asking him to do. Again, he's working extremely hard, and I think people see that. I respect that about him. He's never once put his head down and pouted and woe is me, and it's always, I'm going to figure this thing out. And when you have a guy that's willing to put in the extra work, that you start pulling for that guy. But again, I understand his body language now. I know where he's going to be. You know, back shoulder balls, those are something that he's got to be very, very excellent at. But it takes reps to do that, and I'm glad we got that today.
That's Josh Allen on some chemistry at training camp. Look at that. The quarterback. This song, by the way, Owen, this bump was the theme of the show last week. So fresh and so clean. Because it was the 2 days before the jerseys came out.
Oh.
So, yeah.
Why'd you have to remind me? I forgot. I've seen so many, like, comps to, like, inanimate objects for those jerseys.
Pepsi, like what?
Pepsi can.
Oh, the Diet Valvoline Pepsi, oil?
Valvoline oil. Yeah. There's, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, the jerseys. A topic of discussion last week. Just on the...
A tough one.
The, on this show, at least, the renderings, and then last week, Monday, when they dropped, became quite the topic of conversation with how poor they looked. But we can forget about those until we have to unfortunately see them on the field at some point. We're going to try to get connected to Matt Schauff here of Draft Sharks, go through some fantasy stuff. We got Sal Capaccio coming up at 1. We've nailed him down.
Indeed.
On the way back from training camp.
The busiest man on the planet.
Yeah, doing a little bit of everything. So we'll hear about C.J. Gardner-Johnson's injury from him, his point of view, what he saw, if he can say. And then, you know, we'll ask him all the questions about training camp. We might have some other training camp audio for you, some player audio. And, of course, we're going to put a parlay together today. We did allude to that earlier. Last week, we just kind of picked. This week,
We're
going to get into it.
We're going to dive head first
on these division winners. And maybe we'll throw in a Super Bowl odd or something in there, too. Go a little crazy.
Whoa.
But just sticking on Bill's training camp for a moment. Hearing Allen talk, right, just on the change, what Bill was talking about in the last segment. Allen's alluded to the change of pace and change of scene and what was needed, right?
Mm-hmm.
As a player at that point, I'm not saying he orchestrated the whole thing. That's not what I'm trying to say. But as a player at that point, all these guys have to be potentially not just relieved that McDermott's gone. I'm not saying that. But it's got to be nice for them not to be doing the same thing again. Right?
Sure.
Even wearing different colored jerseys on the field. The offense is in blue. And the defense is in white.
Mm-hmm.
In all the years past, it's been offense in white, defense in blue.
Sure.
Like, there are little things that Joe Brady's doing. And even Allen mentioning in his presser, I don't know what the defense is giving me because it's totally different. Like, that's got to be good.
Definitely seems good.
So, I think it's as frustrated as you may have been, as upsetting as it was that McDermott was fired, and Allen was clearly upset by it, right? I mean, that's your guy for 9 years. He was at his wedding. Like, I think a change, just to put a punctuation mark on that conversation, change is good for everybody involved.
No doubt. Yeah, I mean, it's that feeling of new and especially when you've been in a situation where I think you were probably growing frustrated is got to be a relieving thing, especially when you're the guy that it all really does fall on.
Right.
And that has got to be a really tough place to be and getting a fresh perspective, whatever it might be, perspective, new plays, whatever, that could be impactful in more ways than just on the field.
Yeah, absolutely. It's Joe Calley, Owen Parker here with you on Sports Talk Saturday on WGR. We now go to the Wester Hotline. Matt Schauff of Draft Sharks joins us. Matt, appreciate you taking some time out of your weekend. I know it's getting busy fantasy season-wise, getting a lot of drafts going down. But again, we appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for having me on. I had to get a quick lawn mow in before the rain hits us in Rochester, but now I'm ready to talk for sure.
Oh, well, that's good. I'm my head after a lawn mow is so clear, it's not even funny. So you got to be in a good headspace right now.
Yeah, it's the only place you get quiet when you're a dad.
There you go.
Yes. Well, Matt, we'll start off with something. It's Joe Calle, Owen Parker. We'll start off with something a little, I guess, not football right on the nose related. We are starting a Dynasty Fantasy Football League. We're doing it for the first time, right? We're doing Superflex. Do you have any advice, any rules, anything like that that you like out there that you want to see people potentially start doing a little more?
Yeah, first off, I think that is football right on the nose. You guys are doing it right.
I guess Superflex, right. Yeah.
Dynasty, Fantasy. I would say add some IDPs if you want it to be ideal, but you're on the right path. As far as starting out in a Dynasty Superflex startup, I would say try to get a good long-term quarterback early. Don't overrate getting that second one. If you can get that one foundational quarterback, that really opens up the flexibility for a lot of different things where you can get your second quarterback early if the rest of your league is waiting on it. You can wait longer if the rest of your league is rushing to get them. I think that's just one thing is you'll see a mix of, I guess most often leagues will rush to fill quarterback too early and kind of leave some value at other positions on the table.
Okay. All right, we'll take that into consideration. IDP seems to be a polarizing topic, Matt. Are you pro IDP or are you sounded pro, but I'm not going to put words in your mouth.
I'm definitely pro. I'm the guy who does the IDP rankings projections on draftsharks.com, and it's funny because I started out on the other side. I played IDP as my very first fantasy league, but we did it wrong. We only had it was either two or three. So I was like, this is easy. There's enough of these guys for everybody. Why are we doing this? All these leagues do team defenses. And then later, my first actual, you know, paid writing gig for fantasy was writing about IDPs. And I was like, oh, this is a lot deeper. If you're actually playing a bigger lineup, you get into it. It's just like the offensive side, only not nearly as many people are paying attention. So it's easier to do it well. It's easier to get an advantage on people. And just from like the basic standpoint, it's a whole half of the football game that you're not really paying attention to if you're only using offensive players.
Yeah, it's a good point. That's very true. A lot of fans only look to offense and everything like that just because of the offensive side of the football is so big in fantasy. But we'll start, Matt, with the Bills because I feel like this training camp, you're starting to see DJ Moore wake up a little bit with Josh Allen, that connection really starting to build. We talked a little bit about James Cook potentially catching some passes, but we'll start with Josh Allen. The age-old question. Is it okay to draft Josh Allen in the first round? Or where is his average draft position supposed to be? And what do you make of his potential season? Is he going to be, I mean, I'm asking you probably a redundant question, but is he going to be a top three quarterback again? Are you expecting maybe a little bit of a jump with the new offensive scheme potentially with Brady as the head coach? Anything like that?
I mean, I think as long as he's healthy, he's going to be a top three quarterback. I don't ever buy that he's going to run less, no matter what they say on either side of that. And I think getting DJ Moore is a good thing for Josh Allen. I think the best version of Josh Allen, both real life and fantasy-wise, that we've gotten is when he has a go-to wide receiver. We've seen the past couple of years that he's still very good and carries his team, even when they decide to spread it around to, I don't know, play football socialism or whatever, but they get a number one guy there. And you can already hear Josh Allen talking about trying to develop trust. He said he was trying to be too perfect with DJ Moore, and now he's like, listen, man, I'm just going to throw it and let you go get it. So that to me says they want to build a connection. It says that he thinks DJ Moore is important. I know why it's important to have that number one there. I'm excited about DJ Moore, and Josh Allen always makes sense, and he's actually going a little bit later than he was last year at this time because we had some later quarterbacks score high last year. Sam Darnold, Matthew Stafford. Now people are like, I don't have to get quarterback that early. If you can get Josh Allen in round three, that could win your league. I think late round two is fine. Round one, too early if you're talking a one quarterback league.
Gotcha. Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, let's turn to the second fantasy stud on the Bills offense, James Cook. We have seen early on in training camp here only three practices in, but it appears that the Bills are interested in getting James Cook the ball through the air a little more, which if you add that dimension of his game onto the leading rusher in the NFL last season, how much room for growth do you see for Cook in the fantasy world?
So that is the piece that I've been waiting for. He was the receiving back in the backfield at Georgia. It seemed like things were working well in that category early in his Bills life. And then Joe Brady took over, and all of a sudden he's catching fewer passes, which didn't make any sense. Made me wary of James Cook at ADP over the past couple of years. Now he's into round one, so there's not a whole lot of room for growth and expectation on him. But I think if he does actually add the receiving, as it seems like they're trying to do, that solidifies him as that late round one pick. Instead of making me wary of taking him there, I think it makes him worthy of taking there and makes him a candidate for the top four at the position.
Matt Schauff of Draft Sharks with us here on the Wester Hotline. Matt, we talked about IDP for a moment. Is there anyone on the Bills that stands out to you in an IDP situation?
It's tough for the standout. The most interesting player to me on the Bills from an IDP standpoint right now is Caleb Elarms-Orr, the rookie linebacker from the middle rounds. And it's because all he really has between him and a starting job is Dorian Williams, who started out not being that good. I mean, he's had starting shots here and there, and even when he was playing, relatively full-time, when he was starting in place of Matt Milano, they didn't want him out there in passing situations. So we're already talking about a limited player, give him an injury, and then bring in this rookie who has production late in college and then tested really well in the pre-draft process. I think Elarms-Orr is probably going to get into the lineup at some point this year. I hope it's early, and I think once he gets there, he's a pretty good bet for numbers.
Matt, speaking of rookies, are there any rookie standouts kind of looking around the NFL now? What rookies are standing out most to you in like a dynasty format or anything like that?
This is going to be a tough rookie class to gauge on that front, because I think a lot of the top guys are already well-regarded. I think we've all been getting to know Cyrus Allen a little bit in Kansas City this week, but now he came up with an injury today, so we might have to pump the brakes on seeing what happens with him. I'm probably, like, relative to the draft price, I'm probably most interested in later round running back types, because there are backfields that have unclear opportunity. Jonah Coleman in Denver, you know, not going to get immediate touches, but has two handcuff paths there to J.K. Dobbins or R.J. Harvey. Catron Allen in Washington, we've got a wide open backfield where you can really choose your fighter and make a case for him. And then, you know, Catron Allen's going in like round 18, so you can just stash him and see if anything happens. And if nothing does, then you drop him. Nicholas Singleton, his college teammate, is in Tennessee. Similar, like, I'm a little wary of Singleton as a prospect because he never lived up to his athleticism in college, but he landed in this backfield with Tony Pollard, Tajay Spears, two guys that have big-time question marks. So if Singleton gets opportunities, he's at least exciting enough that he can, you know, make coaches think that they need to keep him on the field. So I think those are the guys where there's probably a bit more value than you can see, obviously, when you look at the ADP board.
Matt Schauff, Draft Sharks, with us on the Wester Hotline. Matt, looking to AFC East rival for the Bills, the Patriots get A.J. Brown, Romeo Doubs this offseason, Drake May looking to replicate what he did last year. What's the fantasy outlook on the Patriots offense in general? Drake May and those guys, A.J. Brown specifically.
I mean, the offense has to be better. I say that it sounds like I think the offense wasn't that good last year, but if you look at what they added, it's clear that they tried to build out the passing game this year. They're like, we've got something really good in Drake May. Now we need to give him pieces to actually make it all work. The offense was really good last year, which of course was boosted by the weakest schedule in the league. So the numbers might not show it this year, but I think we're going to get a better passing offense. I expect that we'll probably get more passing production when we've got A.J. Brown and Romeo Doubs, you know, more so A.J. Brown, if he is anywhere close to peak A.J. Brown. I think he's probably a little bit short of that, but upgrades the passing game. So I like Drake May as the number two quarterback this year in terms of projections. I like him especially at cost because he's going more like QB5, depending on which ADP you look at. A.J. Brown, he burned me last year, so I'm trying to get over that and like him with a better passer this year and probably more passing volume, but you know, I can understand a little trepidation on that front. Beyond that, I'm not excited about too many individual guys. I think the backfield is interesting primarily because Ramondre Stevenson looks like the number one running back, and he's still going a pretty good bit behind Trevion Henderson in ADP.
All right, Matt. Well, we're up against a break, but I got to get this last one in here. The top two picks in the most every draft right now, Jahmyr Gibbs, Bijan Robinson. You got to lean on which one of those guys you like at number one?
Yeah, I like Puka Nacua at number one.
Ooh.
I want
to
yes.
Top of the board. See, last year I think got us a little too comfy with the notion that we have to start with a running back. They scored really well last year. Some wide receivers let us down. Puka Nacua and Ja'Marr Chase look to me like the safest bets on the board. Yeah, they might get outscored by those running backs if those guys stay healthy, but it's just a position that finds more injuries. Both those guys are hold-ins right now. So, you know, I'm not super worried, but it's one of those little things like maybe they're not quite as ready physically when the season begins. And, you know, when you're talking about a surefire number one for his team, Puka Nacua got hurt in the middle of last year and still led all wide receivers by 2 points per game. So he's our number one player across formats here. And I'm taking Puka Nacua tops overall.
Awesome. All right. Respect.
Matt. Well, we appreciate your time. One last thing. It's kind of a joke, but would you take Aaron Donald in any IDP leagues or anything like that? Would you? Are you on the radar for that? Because McVay said it's trending in the right direction earlier today.
Absolutely. I'm just waiting for it to be official so I know whether to project him. But if he's playing, I'm absolutely drafting Aaron Donald because I think we can count on him being physically ready to go. And, I mean, whenever Aaron Donald's physically ready to go, he makes quarterbacks scream out loud.
All right. Well, Matt Schauff of Draft Sharks, thank you very much. We appreciate your time, and we'll talk soon. We'll go around the league in a little longer segment next time, but we appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you guys for having me on.
Yeah, anytime. It's Matt Schauff of Draft Sharks again. We got to take a timeout. We'll be back on the other side. We got Sal Capaccio coming up at 1 o'clock, and then we're gonna put a parlay together. We're gonna pick some division winners. So we're gonna have some fun for the rest of the show. It's all open for you. 803-0550, Joe Cali, Owen Parker. This is WGR.
Hey y'all, I'm Maddie.
And I'm Poodle.
And together we host the podcast Reality Gaze.
We are two ridiculous homosexuals who love nothing more than talking about reality television
and tearing in a new one.
So whether it's 90 Day Fiancé, Love is Blind, Love After Lockup, or any other trash TV show about lonely hearts looking for love, your gay besties got you covered, y'all.
New shows every week. Follow and listen to Reality Gaze wherever you get your podcast. Reality
Gaze, let's love!
Complete and objective Bills coverage coming up at 1 o'clock with Sal Capaccio. Sorry, I'm so ingrained in the morning, like the early mornings. This feels like 8 o'clock because it's going to be hour number three.
That is fair.
So
it does feel like
threw
that.
Threw me off. Before the break, we'll steer away for a moment from the NFL and the training camps. We both saw Spider-Man last night.
We did.
As mentioned earlier.
We did.
And we saw The Odyssey earlier this week. Big, mm-hmm. big Tom Holland and John Bernthal summer
right
now. And Zendaya
Absolutely.
In both as well.
Absolutely.
So the both were good. The Odyssey was like amazing in 70 millimeter in its own way. Like that's just a film's film. It's unbelievable.
Unreal.
And then Spider-Man was, I think, great in its own way. It's
I thought
very
it was
different.
Good too. Yeah.
I sent a picture to you last night sitting in the regular theater. You probably experienced it yourself. And I was like, this just doesn't feel right after watching The Odyssey in 70 millimeter.
It felt like I was watching a movie on like my iPhone.
Yeah.
Compared to the giant 10-story IMAX screen mm-hmm. that we went to in Rochester. But yeah, it was fun. I'm a huge Spider-Man guy.
So am I. I have been since I was a kid, since the original Tobey Maguire movies,
always.
All that.
Same.
So. And they did all of that justice, I think, with this movie. It's the arguably the best one in recent history. So.
I thought it was very fun, entertaining, roots of Spider-Man-y, like
it's like a comic book on the screen.
Stuff. Yeah, it was fun.
They actually took all the comic book panels and put them on the screen, which
is
cool.
Yes, yes.
So, put a lot of care and time into that. So go see Spider-Man Brand New Day if you haven't yet. If you want to, or The Odyssey. Drive to Rochester and go see The Odyssey. That's what I would say.
I would say go see
Parlay
The Odyssey.
Parlay some training
first.
Camp next week with some mm-hmm. Odyssey. Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely go see The Odyssey first. They did extend it in the 70 millimeter until September 16th.
Yes.
So you got a lot of time still.
So many people are going to see it still.
Yes. But we got to get out of here. We'll be back on the other side. Sal Capaccio joins us on Sports Talk Saturday. Joe Cali, Owen Parker. You're listening to WGR.
Hey guys, it's Daxton.
And Hayden from Blondies Out Loud.
And if you've ever thought about starting a podcast or making money from one,
we use Creator Lab from Odyssey for our show, and it's honestly been so easy.
It's free hosting, and it gives you a really simple way to earn on top of whatever you're already doing.
Which, of course, we love because it just adds another stream without the extra work.
So, if you're a creator or podcast curious,
check it out at creators.odyssey.com.